Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
ఆశ్రమాంశ పరిత్రాధికాచారి అష్టోత్తర సతసిద్ధివాంగే సహచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల పరిపాలకీ జయ అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ జగన్నాథ బలదే సుభద్రామయ్యాకీ జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ చంద్రకీ జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ గౌరతాయకీ జయ స్థితాయ గౌత్రమానందే ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ గ్లోరీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ గ్లోరీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ గ్లోరీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరాంగ శ్రీగురవే నమ శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభృష్టం స్థాపితం భూతలే స్వయం రూప సదాహ్యం సదాకీంద్రదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీపదకమలం శ్రీగురు వైష్ణవాశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం పంచజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనకలితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదా సహగణరఘునాథ శ్రీశాఖాన్వితాశ్చ నమో కృష్ణపాదాయ కృష్ణశ్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీ నమస్తే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారే విశేష శూన్యవాది ఆచార్యేషకారిణే ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం బంధుం నష్టరీ కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగూరుం దీనకారిణం వాంఛాకల్పతరువ్యశ్చ కృపాదింద్రోదేవ చ సదీనాం పావనేభ్యో వైషయేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహాపదాంజనాయ కృష్ణప్రేమప్రదాయ కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరవిషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశక్తికం ఆరాధ్య భగవాన్ వ్రజేశతనయ తద్ధామ వృందావనం రమ్య కాచిదుపాసనా వ్రజవధూ వర్గేణ యా కల్పితా శ్రీమద్భాగవతం ప్రమాణమలం ప్రేమకుమర్థ మహాన్ శ్రీచైతన్య మహాప్రభో మతమిదం తత్రాదరహన పరమ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో జీవబంధో జగత్తకే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే సప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ విశ్వానుస్తుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ krishna krishna hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare 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 krishna so as we announced today we will be speaking about Srila Rupa Goswami who is a very, very important acharya in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. In fact, we are called the Rupanugars, which means we are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. Anuga means a follower. Anu means behind, a following, and Ga means to go. So one who follows behind Srila Rupa Goswami is Rupanuga. Is it possible to switch off the fan? Is it? Yes? The sound is too much, I think. Will it be too hot for all of you if the fan is switched off? Yeah. And maybe you can come in the front so that those who are coming late can come. So it is interesting, Hare Krishna. It is interesting that we are not called Chaitanya Nugas or Gaura Nugas, but we are called Rupa Nugas. Why is that? Why are we not called Chaitanya Nugas, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and why are we called followers of Rupa Goswami? Anyone? Aren't we all Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Gaudiya Vaishnavas means that basically we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still we are not called Gauranugas or Chaitanya Nugas. We are called Rupanugas. Yes, of course. Rupa Goswami knows the innermost desire of Mahaprabhu, but still, why are we also not Mahaprabhu Anugas or Gaura Anugas?
Rupa Goswami has delineated the process of devotional service, how one should perform the process. We are following that process.
Yes, Rupa Goswami has delineated the process as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, correct. Actually, first of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. Even though he has come in the guise of a devotee, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he is the Supreme Lord. And the kinds of moods that he exhibited were sometimes very, very exalted. Something that we cannot even imagine or think about. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind only 8 verses, the Shikshashtakam. Otherwise he didn't make any of his own compositions. But he taught his followers, his disciples, his devotees, and then they in turn then wrote books about Krishna consciousness and propagated this philosophy. So Rupa Goswami is considered the foremost follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, do you know why? Why not Swarup Damodar? Why not Ramananda Rai? Why not so many others? And it has a little esoteric reason. I don't want to talk in detail about it. But nevertheless, since we are talking about Rupa Goswami, a brief mention in the passing at least would be in order. I think there is an echo in the sound. You can understand. So Srila Rupa Goswami, who is he in Krishna Leela? You see, the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, they accompany Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes here in Navadvipa and in other places. And just as Sri Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, his intimate associates also descend and accompany Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and participate in his pastimes. So in our sampradaya, essentially, we are taught about the love for Lord Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. Particularly, the most exalted form of love for Lord Krishna is demonstrated by the gopis of Vrindavan. रम्या काचित उपासना व्रज वधु वर्गेण या कल्पिता. So in other words, the gopis are the best examples of pure devotees of Krishna. Nobody can be devotees of Krishna like the gopis of Vrindavan. And the topmost gopi is Srimati Radharani, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to not only relish but also exhibit the love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna. And Srimati Radharani is assisted by many of her assistant gopis who are called sakhis. And these sakhis or gopis are in turn assisted by their assistants who are called manjaris. So this is going on in Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, where the principle is that we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. We are never directly servants of Krishna. That is a very high position. But our position, our most glorious position will be if we can be the servants of the servants of the servants of the devotees of Krishna. This is our philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us this principle of this love of God. And all our acharyas, most of them, not all, but at least most of them, have in Krishna Leela been manjaris. The foremost devotee of Krishna is Radharani. The foremost assistant of Radharani is Lalita Sakhi. And the foremost assistant of Lalita Sakhi is Rupa Manjari. And that same Rupa Manjari has come in Gaura Leela as Rupa Goswami. Therefore, we are called Rupanugas. And therefore Rupa Goswami is considered one of the chief associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he did not associate with him in Mayapur and Navadvip, and he associated very little with him in Jagannath Puri compared to some of the others. But he was very much empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we want to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami as a sadhaka, as a devotee of the Lord, in a certain mood, loving Krishna in that and serving the assistance of the assistants of Krishna in that mood. That is why we are called Rupanugar. Of course we are all devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but still we are called Rupanugas, because Rupa Goswami has shown us the way to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us the way to love Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami has taught us how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed this. The teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have primarily been revealed by the six Goswamis, the chief amongst whom is Rupa Goswami. Without Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami and others, we could not have known what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. And this most priceless treasure would have been lost. And as one of the Krishna Prabhu rightly said, in the verse Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaryam Tadati Svapadantikam, it is explained that Rupa Goswami is glorious and we offer our respectful obeisances to him because he knows the innermost desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knows what the heart of Mahaprabhu is. He knows what Mahaprabhu wants and what is his mood. Even Mahaprabhu was surprised to see how is it that Rupa Goswami knows what is inside my heart. Nobody else knows it. But how is it that Rupa Goswami has understood? One time when Rupa Goswami was visiting Jagannath Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying there after Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, there came the time for the Rath Yatra. And every Rath Yatra, Mahaprabhu would gather all his devotees and chant and dance in front of the chariots. Every year for 4 months, the devotees from Bengal would come to Jagannath Puri and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And they would be also present at the time of the Rath Yatra. So Mahaprabhu would come in front of Lord Jagannath and he would chant some verses which nobody would understand except Swaroop Damodar, who was his very intimate associate. But the others would not understand what he means. And Rupa Goswami, however, understood. Rupa Goswami used to live with Haridas Thakur whenever he came to Jagannathpuri. Haridas Thakur had a small bhajan kutir, a small cottage, Siddhapakula. It is still there, that place, the tree. Of course, the cottage is not there, but they have made a new cottage there now. And Rupa Goswami would stay there. Now, Haridas Thakur had been born in a Muslim family, but still he became a pure devotee of Krishna. And so exalted did he become that Mahaprabhu gave him the title of Namacharya, the Acharya of the Holy Name. Out of humility, Haridas Thakur would not enter into the Jagannath temple, because even in those days there was a strict rule that only Hindus could enter. Even till today they have somehow maintained that rule, unfortunately. So out of humility, even though he was such an exalted, pure devotee of the Lord, he never entered, just because he didn't want to disturb the social customs, and also out of humility he felt himself unqualified. Similarly, Rupa Goswami had formerly been a minister of a Muslim king in Bengal called Nawab Hussain Shah. And in those days the Hindu society was so orthodox and rigid that if any Hindu served a Muslim or came in intimate contact with a Muslim, then that Hindu was also considered as a Muslim. He was ostracized from the community. And he was also considered like a Muslim. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, his elder brother, they actually hailed from Karnataka. And they were actually from the Saraswat Brahmin community of Karnataka. But some of their forefathers, their previous generations, due to some reason, had migrated to Bengal. So Rupa Goswami was also born and brought up there. So even though he was born in an aristocratic Brahmana family, because he and his brother were serving a Muslim king, they were considered not so much to be Hindus. In fact, they even had Muslim names. Rupa Goswami was called Dabir Khas, and Sanatan Goswami was called Sakar Mallik. So even Rupa Goswami would not enter into the temple out of humility, because he would think, I'm an outcast, I'm like a Yavana, so I should not enter. He would not even go to the Gambira. The Gambira is a place which was the residence of Kashi Mishra, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his residence. In one room in that complex, in that compound, Mahaprabhu would stay. And Rupa Goswami would not even go into the Gambira or that Kashi Mishra's house, because he said, I am unfit to go to a Brahmana's house. Such was his humility. Who are more qualified than Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami? But still they demonstrated their qualification by thinking of themselves as being unqualified. The more qualified we think we are, the more unqualified we actually are. And the more unqualified we think ourselves to be, the more qualified we actually are. This is the paradox of spiritual life. And it is brought out in the lives of great devotees like Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami used to stay with Haridas Thakur, because both were in the same category, both were considered like Muslims. So one time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting them, an extraordinary incident happened. Now before we go to that extraordinary incident, just consider how merciful the Lord is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly Krishna, Jagannath is Krishna, therefore there is no difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami would not enter the temple of Jagannath out of humility, but the Lord is so magnanimous that that same Jagannath in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was come there to give them darshan. They did not have to go to take darshan of the Lord in the temple, but that Lord who appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now came to give his darshan to them. This is how the Lord is so merciful to the devotees. So it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's practice that every day at noon he would come and sit for some time with Haridas Thakur, and then when Haridas and when Rupa Goswami was there, he would also chat with Rupa Goswami. So one day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he saw that in the thatched cottage, the thatched roof of the cottage in which Haridas Thakur would stay, there was a small palm leaf that was stuck right at the edge. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked it up and he read it, and he was astonished to read this verse. This verse had been composed by Rupa Goswami, and it was exactly the purport of the verses that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant in front of Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra, and which nobody except Swarup Damodar understood the meaning of. So Mahaprabhu read the verse, and he said, he went up to Rupa Goswami and affectionately slapped him and said, "How did you know what is in my mind?" And then he embraced him, and Haridas Thakur was standing there looking on with great joy. This is the nature of pure devotees. They feel joyful when they see other devotees getting mercy. They don't get envious. The material mentality is that when somebody gets some special favor, then we feel envious of that person. And we say, why is it not happening to me? But Haridas Thakur was overjoyed. And then when Mahaprabhu spoke like this, he said, "This is because Rupa Goswami has received your abundant mercy, my Lord. Because you have showered his mercy on him, therefore he has understood what is in your mind." And that is why this verse, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, which I quoted earlier, has come about. Because Rupa Goswami understood Mahaprabhu's heart. So what was it that Rupa Goswami had composed? You see, who is Jagannath is a mystery. Jagannath is Krishna, but it is a very special form of Krishna. Jagannath is Krishna in Dwarka, who is remembering Vrindavan. This is Jagannath. When Jagannath in Dwarka becomes nostalgic about Vrindavan and he has strong desire to be in Vrindavan, then he exhibits such ecstatic symptoms that he looks then like Jagannath. So Mahaprabhu, when he would have darshan of Jagannath, he would not see Jagannath, he would see Shyam Sundar Krishna playing the flute. He would see Krishna in Vrindavan. This is stated by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he was trying to pull Jagannath back to Vrindavan from Dwarka. All of you know the pastime of the Rath Yatra of Lord Jagannath, right? That when the Brajavasis and Dwarkavasis both had gone to Kurukshetra at the time of the Surya Grahana, the solar eclipse, then the gopis, they tried to pull Krishna's chariot back to Vrindavan, saying, "Now you come back to Vrindavan. You have left and gone to Dwarka." So that pastime is immortalized through the Rath Yatra that takes place in Jagannath Puri, and now by Srila Prabhupada's mercy taking place all over the world. So this is the mood. The Jagannath temple represents Dwarka, and the Gundicha temple represents Vrindavan, and the devotees are pulling Krishna from Dwarka to Vrindavan. "You come home. We want to see you as a cowherd boy, not as a king." So in that mood of Vrindavan feeling separation for Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant these verses. But Rupa Goswami had written this verse that was a purport or an explanation of the verses that Mahaprabhu would chant. ಪ್ರಿಯಃ ಸೋಯಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಃ ಸಹಚರೇ ಕುರುಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಮೇಲಿತಃ ತಥಾಹಂ ಸಾರಾಧಾ ತತ್ ಇದಂ ಉಭಯೋ ಸಂಗಮ ಸುಖಂ ತದಾಪ್ಯಂತಃ ಖೇಲನ್ ಮಧುರ ಮುರುಳೀ ಪಂಚಮಜುಷೇ ಮನೋ ಮೇ ಕಾಲಿಂದ ಪುರಿನ ವಿನಾಯ ಪ್ರಿಯತೆ. This was the verse composed by Rupa Goswami. And in this verse, one gopi of Vrindavan is telling another gopi, she is telling, O Sahachari, O my friend, this is the same Krishna, and I am the same Radha. Radha is saying to the other gopis, in Kurukshetra, this whole thing is taking place in Kurukshetra. And definitely there is a lot of happiness in meeting Krishna again. Since he has left for Mathura and Dwarka, we have not met him. And now we are meeting him. He is the same Krishna and the same Radharani. But even though I am happy, still I am not very comfortable. Why? Because I am remembering that Krishna who is standing on the bank of the Yamuna playing the flute. Panchamadisha on the fifth note. Madhura Murali, he is playing his flute very, very sweetly on the fifth note. Mano me kalandi pulina vipinayas pahiyati. So I am remembering him on the bank of the Kalandi, the Yamuna, playing the flute as a cowherd boy. In other words, what the gopis and the other Brajabasis are saying is that yes, Krishna, you are the same Krishna here in Dwarka, but we don't like to see you like this. Why? Because here you are a big king with a crown and so many servants and soldiers and royal paraphernalia, big chariot and all kinds of things. Whereas in Vrindavan, you were a simple cowherd boy who was lovable, who played the flute. So we want to see you like that. This is the way, the mood in which the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna. It is called Madhurya Bhava, the mood of sweetness, where there is more intimacy, a mood of love where there is no consideration of the greatness of Krishna, where there is no consideration that Krishna is God, where there is no Aishwarya Bhava, a mood of opulence. So Rupa Goswami had understood, had hit the nail on the head. He understood why Mahaprabhu had come here to this earth, why he had appeared, because he wanted to relish and propagate this mood of loving Krishna. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Rupa Goswami, because he has understood my mind, he has understood my heart. So this is the importance of Srila Rupa Goswami, and that is why we are called Rupanugas. When Rupa Goswami and his elder brother Sanatana Goswami were ministers of Nawab Hussain Shah, they were already great learned scholars. They were learned in Sanskrit, in Arabic, in Persian, apart from other languages. They had already studied the scriptures very methodically. They were already great scholars. And not only that, they were also very materially accomplished, because they were ministers. And at that time, they must have been only in their 20s. If you calculate the ages as given in the different books, it turns out that they must have been very young when they were ministers of the king. So how competent must they have been that at such a young age the king recognized their talent and made them ministers. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they were very keen to get his mercy. Soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, straight from Katwa, which is the place where he took sannyas. But Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya and others, they tricked Mahaprabhu and brought him back to Shantipur, the place of Advaita Acharya. So Mahaprabhu's first attempt to go to Vrindavan failed. And after coming to Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made another attempt to go to Jagannath Puri, to go to Vrindavan. And this time, he went through Bengal and all the way up to Ramakeli, which is where Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis were staying. And he went a little beyond Ramakeli to a place called Kanai Nakshala. How many of you have been to Kanai Nakshala? Nobody? Can I not shall I hear thee? It is north of, it is near Mayapur, a little some distance away actually. And it is the last point up to which Mahaprabhu went. And it is there that Mahaprabhu also had darshan of Krishna, and many wonderful pastimes took place. It is on the bank of the river. Very serene, beautiful place even today. It is on a hill. So, at Ramakili, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, Rupa Sanatan Goswamis, who were then Dabir Khas and Sakar Mallik, they waited for sunset. They wanted to go in the dark, because they did not want the Muslim king to know that they were going to associate with this saint, Vaishnava saint. So at night, they quietly went out of their homes and came up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered their dandavat pranam, their prostrated obeisances to him with straw in their teeth. And they prayed to Mahaprabhu with such humility that Mahaprabhu was extremely taken aback and yet pleased. They said, we are the most fallen people. We are even more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. Actually, we have become as good as Muslims because we have been serving the Muslims. We are befriending those people who are killers of cows and enemies of Vedic culture, of Brahminical culture. But still you are so merciful that you have come here to grant mercy to us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was pleased with their humility. And he said, I am very pleased with both of you brothers. You are actually my associates for many lives. You are my devotees life after life. Krishna has very kindly rescued you from material life and he has brought you to his devotional service. And then Mahaprabhu, he placed his lotus feet on their heads and he introduced them to the other devotees who were present there. And they were also very, very happy to see the special mercy that Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis had got. It was at this point that Mahaprabhu changed their names. And he said to Dabir Khas that from today you will be known as Sri Rupa. And to Sakar Mallik he said, from today you will be known as Sanatan, Sri Sanatan. And after having blessed them in this way he said, actually I have come here only for you. I left Jagannath Puri on the pretext of going to Vrindavan, but actually I did not intend to go to Vrindavan. I came here only to deliver you two brothers. And then Mahaprabhu after that went to Kanai Nakshala and then went all the way back to Jagannath Puri. He did not go to Vrindavan. After this episode, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, were like people who were haunted. They were haunted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. They could not think of anything except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were thinking, when will that day come when we would be able to leave this political work of state administration and serving this Nawab Hussain Shah, and when will we go and take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri. So the time soon came for Rupa Goswami first. Rupa Goswami took all his money. He deposited 10,000 gold coins first of all at a local grocer. In those days they did not have finance companies and banks, but local businessmen would, or grocers often would perform this function. Vanijya, those who were the businessmen. He kept this as a security deposit for Sanatan Goswami in case he should need it for escaping from the Nawab Hussain Shah. And then he went to his hometown and he distributed 50% of the money, whatever was remaining, to his family. I beg your pardon? Yes. Okay, can you please come in this side? There is place here, so people who are standing at the back can come in also. Please move a little forward if you can. Those who are standing in the back, please come in and sit down. So that yet others who come at the back will have some place. So whatever money was remaining after the 10,000 gold coins, and there was a lot remaining because Rupa was very rich, so what then happened? 50% of that amount was donated in charity to the Vaishnavas. 25% was given to his family members, and 25% was kept for personal emergencies. And Srila Prabhupada said this is a good example for Grihasthas to follow. That's a hard one. 50% of your income. As I was mentioning here one time, I think on my last visit, when I mentioned this in one class, one devotee asked, post-tax or pre-tax? So now everything is becoming very complicated. Somebody will say, well, net profits, after deducting all the household expenses, everything else, then should we give 50% of what is remaining? Or? But Rupa Goswami gave 50% of his, practically his entire wealth. And then he hurried away to Prayag, which is modern day Allahabad. And he went there to meet Mahaprabhu, because he heard Mahaprabhu was there. So at Prayag, he did meet Mahaprabhu in the house of a Brahmana from South India, from Maharashtra. And Mahaprabhu gave him his association, because there were huge crowds of people who wanted to follow Mahaprabhu and get his mercy. Mahaprabhu retired to a solitary place in the Prayag region, which was called the Dashashvamedha Ghat, which was a historic place from ancient times, considered an auspicious place. And at that place, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami for 10 days consecutively. So these teachings in the community of Gaudiya Vaishnavas are called Rupa Shiksha, the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, which is what in my last visit we had started discussing, but we could not finish. And I thought it is better that we do the entire teachings at one time in two or three, maybe four classes, rather than splitting them up at a 1 year gap when everybody has forgotten what was done previously. And then again, if you can't finish now, then after many months again. So on some suitable occasion, we could try to do it all together. That is why today we are not specifically going to discuss the teachings to Rupa Goswami, but rather we'll talk about the glories of Rupa Goswami. So at that time, soon after the teachings were over, Vallabha Bhatta, who later became known as Vallabhacharya, he came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he received his mercy. Rupa Goswami was accompanied at that time by his younger brother, his third brother, whose name was Anupam. And they both the brothers offered their respects to Vallabha Bhatta. Vallabha Bhatta came forward to embrace them, but Rupa and Anupam, they shrunk back and said, no, 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 please don't touch us, we are very fallen. Such was their humility. This humility of Rupa Goswami was not some artificial thing. It was genuine. It is explained by our acharyas that Mahaprabhu taught tolerance through the life of Haridas Thakur. And Mahaprabhu taught humility through the example of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. Such humility that we cannot even imagine. So, when Mahaprabhu saw this, inwardly he was pleased. But outwardly, he told Vallabha Bhatta, because he wanted to get a point across. He said, my dear Vallabha, they are low caste people and you are a high class aristocratic Brahmin. So therefore they are hesitant to let you touch them. Vallabha understood that there was some point to be made. That Mahaprabhu was trying to make a point. Perhaps trying to make him understand that they were actually exalted souls, even though they may have had some connection with Muslims or whatever. And then having got the hint, Vallabha Bhatta said, actually, how can they be impure? There is no significance to their being born in so-called low-caste families because they are chanting the names of Krishna constantly. So Mahaprabhu was pleased to hear that also. So after hearing these teachings from Mahaprabhu for 10 days, Rupa Goswami went upward to Vrindavan, because that was what Mahaprabhu wanted him to do. Mahaprabhu had given Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami four instructions. You go to Vrindavan and do these four things. Does anyone know what those four things were that Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami? Excavate the pastime places of Lord Krishna, the holy places in Vrindavan. Second, write literatures to propagate devotional service and about the life and the practices of a Vaishnava. Third, preach the glories of the holy name everywhere. And fourth, establish the deities and construct temple. So these four instructions were given to Rupa and Sanatana, particularly to Rupa Goswami. And actually it was meant for all the six Goswamis. So Rupa Goswami went on to Vrindavan. He stayed in Vrindavan for some time, and then he thought that I will go and meet Sanatana, because by that time Sanatana Goswami had managed to escape from the Nawab Hussain Shah. The Nawab Hussain had actually imprisoned Sanatana Goswami. Somehow by bribing the jailkeeper and praising him, he managed to escape. So Sanatana Goswami had come to Prayag, and when Sanatana Goswami was going from Prayag to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was going from Vrindavan to Prayag. And unfortunately they took different paths. So they missed each other. So when Sanatana Goswami reached Vrindavan, he heard that Rupa Goswami was there for 2 months, and he heard about what Rupa had done in Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami went on then, and he went ahead to Jagannath Puri. In the meanwhile, when Rupa Goswami had been in Vrindavan, he had begun composing a drama about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan and also in Dwarka. It was a combined drama, combining the pastimes of Braja and Dwarka. So as Rupa Goswami crossed Prayag and went towards Jagannath Puri, he entered into modern day Orissa and came to a place called Satyabhamapur. It is a place of Satyabhama Devi, the second senior most queen of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. And Rupa Goswami in this place, Satyabhamapur, had a dream. Satyabhama Devi appeared to him in a dream and said that, write a drama separately about me. In other words, don't mix the pastimes of Braj with that of Dwarka. So Rupa Goswami considered that, but he was traveling, so he was not in writing mode at that time. So he went ahead to Puri. Then he had the association of Mahaprabhu and all the devotees there. And one day, several days after Rupa Goswami had arrived in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu suddenly, out of the blue, he told Rupa Goswami, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Write separate past dramas for Vrindavan and Dwarka. Krishna always lives in Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami was astonished. How did the Lord understand what I'm planning to write and how I'm planning to write? And then after that, he separated his one drama into two dramas. And his one drama about the Vrindavan Leela of Krishna became known as Vidanta Madhava, and the other drama about Dwarka became known as Lalit Madhava. Not Lalita, Lalit Madhava. Lalit means graceful. Lalita is the assistant, Sakgopi. But Lalit, the word Lalit means graceful. So Lalit Madhava refers to graceful Krishna in Vrindavan. So then Rupa Goswami separated these two dramas. In Puri, Rupa Goswami had composed this verse that I talked about earlier, Priya Soyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Nivedita. in which he glorifies, or rather explains Mahaprabhu's mood. So Mahaprabhu, at one gathering of the devotees in Puri, he called together Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar, and Ramananda Rai, and many others, and just said, just look at this verse. Rupa, now you say this verse, what you have composed. At that time, Rupa Goswami, he composed this verse. He was shy because Mahaprabhu was present there and this verse was glorifying Mahaprabhu. But he said it. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namana Gaurat Kushe Namaha. He glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the most munificent incarnation of Lord Krishna. And he said, you are the self-same Krishna, but you are even more merciful than Krishna. You have come to deliver the most fallen. So the devotees were very, very happy to hear that. And then the other devotees asked Rupa Goswami to narrate or to recite his other compositions, including this Priya bird, Priya Suyam Kurukshetra Nilita's verse. And they were all astonished. And then they further asked him, please tell us some more. And then Rupa Goswami recited a verse in glorification of the holy name of Lord Krishna, in which he said, I cannot understand how much nectar there is in these two syllables, Krish and Nirad, which combine together to form Krishna. There is so much nectar when one chants that I wish I had many, many mouths to taste and relish this nectar. And when I chant this holy name, Krishna, then I wish that I had millions of ears with which to hear and drink the nectar of Krishna, the name Krishna. And when this holy name enters through my ears into my heart, then my senses become enlivened and my heart dances with great joy. So when the others heard it, they were astonished. Ramananda Rai also said, we have heard so many verses glorifying the holy name of Krishna, but this verse is especially sweet and glorious. In this way, all the devotees glorified Rupa Goswami and his composition as if they had many, many mouths. Rupa Goswami became extremely embarrassed at such glorification, but the devotees did not spare him. And they continued to glorify in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was the culture of the devotees there. It was not a you scratch my back, I scratch your back kind of situation. But here was genuine glorification. The genuine understanding or appreciation of each other amongst the society of exalted Vaishnavas. So Rupa Goswami stayed there. He was personally blessed and empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write devotional literatures. And he started composing many, many books. Of course, Rupa Goswami's famous books. You can name some of the books of Rupa Goswami. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which has been translated into English in summary form as Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. What else? Upadeshamrit, which is popularly called Nectar of Instruction. What else? I already mentioned two names. Vidarbha Madhava and Lalit Madhava. Then, any other names? Haribhakti Vilas is by Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Any other books written by Rupa Goswami? Laghu Bhagavatamrita, very good. Laghu Bhagavatamrita. His elder brother Sanatana Goswami wrote the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat means big and Laghu means small. So Sanatana Goswami had written the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So Rupa Goswami wrote the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which is also a very wonderful work. He also wrote a composition called Stavamala. He also wrote the Brihat and Laghu, both. Radha Krishna Ganuddesh Deepika. He wrote other books like the Krishna Janma Tithi Vidhi, based upon which the Janmashtami celebrations are performed. So like this, Uddhava Sandesh is another famous book. So many, many books were written by Srila Rupa Goswami. A very, very advanced text is Ujjwala Neelamani. Very advanced. Talks of many, many esoteric things. So Rupa Goswami was writing many, many books along with Sanatan and the other Goswamis. They had identified many of the pastime places of Krishna. They had been preaching the glories of the holy name by compositions and by the discourses and so on. They would live very simple lives in Vrindavan, sometimes under a tree, sometimes under the next tree. They did not even have their bhajan kutis or a house to stay in. They all the time chanted the holy name, or they were busy in their writing and discussing philosophy with each other and Krishna consciousness. This is how they passed their time in Vrindavan. A life of austerity, a life of great devotion, a life of simplicity, a life of scholarship. But then Rupa Goswami began to think, I have followed three instructions of Mahaprabhu, but I have not been able to follow the fourth one. Which is the fourth one? Establish the worship of the deity. So how should I do that? So his mind was tormented with that. And he began to travel all over Vraj, trying to identify the Govindadev deity. But he was unsuccessful. So he became very morose. And he was feeling intense separation from Krishna and was lamenting, Krishna, why are you not appearing? And soon after that, one very, very beautiful person came along. He was a Brajabasi. But Rupa Goswami had never met him before. And he met Rupa Goswami and said, it seems that you are looking very sad. What is the reason for it? Then Rupa Goswami explained. And he said, oh, doesn't matter, the answer is very easy. You see, you go there near Yogapit in Vrindavan. There is Gomatila over there. There is a little hill there. And Govindadev is over there on the top. And there is a cow that comes every day to the top of this tila, of this hill, and feeds milk to Govindadev. Something like the pastime of Venkateshwar, yes? Mm-hmm. The cow used to go to the hill and feed milk. So you go there, and there you will find Govinda. And Rupa Goswami profusely thanked him and the person left. And later Rupa Goswami realized, oh, this was Krishna who came. And I could not recognize him. I am so unfortunate. So then he followed the instructions. He gathered a few of the local Brajabasis and other devotees there. And he proceeded towards the Gomatila. And there, after a little bit of search and digging, lo and behold, they found this most beautiful deity of Govindadev. Govindadev presently, of course, is in Jaipur. Because of the attacks of the Muslims, the Pujaris had shifted them to the protection of the Rajput kings, who were known to be very brave, and also they were great Vaishnavas. Now, the first temple that came up in Vrindavan, actually the credit for developing Vrindavan as we know it today, goes entirely to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. It is only because of them that Vrindavan is what it is today. It is Mahaprabhu who identified what is Radhakund, where is Shyamakund and other places. And then the six Goswamis followed. So at the time when the six Goswamis went to Vrindavan, there was nothing there. It was just jungle. And just a few people were staying here and there. Very difficult situation. And Sanatana Goswami was responsible for the construction of the very first temple, which is that Radha Madan Mohan temple. This Madan Mohan deity was earlier called Madan Gopal. It had been worshipped by Advaita Acharya. But that for another discussion. So the second temple was Govindadev that was coming up. Rupa Goswami was extremely happy to see Govindadev, and then he began to make arrangements for worship. And one of the disciples of Raghunath Das Goswami, he had a new temple constructed. A Govinda did. And much later, towards the end of the 16th century, there was a famous Rajput king. Actually, he was a general. He constructed the temple. His name was Man Singh. Man Singh is a well-known name, like Jai Singh, Man Singh. They were famous Rajputs. So he constructed the temple of Govinda Dev and he made it a magnificent structure. It was actually 7 stories high and made of red sandstone. Very architecturally beautiful. And the British Gazette in those days records it as being one of the finest pieces of Hindu architecture in the northern part of India. It was so grand and wonderful. Unfortunately, as it happened, later on when Aurangzeb became the king and he happened to go to Agra, he was in Agra, and from a distance he saw the Govinda Dev temple. It was very high and on top of that there was a lamp. And he asked his people, what is that grand structure there? And when he was told that it was a temple, then he became very envious and he sent his soldiers to break down the temple. So the soldiers came and they began destroying the temple. So they managed to destroy the temple from the 7th floor downwards. But when they came to the 3rd story, the whole temple started shaking and everything, and they got terrified and they ran away, understanding that God had was displeased with them. So what remains today of the Govinda Dev temple in Vrindavan is where the Mughal soldiers stopped desecrating the temple and destroying the temple. So the temple exists up to about 2 or 3 stories now. Still it is a magnificent piece of architecture. We can see it there. But we can only imagine what it was before. Another 4 stories higher. So then Govinda Dev was worshipped there by Kashisha Pandit and his disciples and others. So this was how Govinda Dev actually came, and at the time of Govinda Dev's Aurangzeb sending his soldiers, then the Vaishnavas from there, they took Govinda Dev to Jaipur. And they are presently in Jaipur, where he is the main deity of Jaipur. It is a custom in the people of Jaipur that before they go to their work, they all come in the morning for Mangal Arati Darshan at 5 o'clock or 5:30, whatever the time. It is a very beautiful sight to see. A few minutes before 5 in the morning, the roads all around there are crowded and buzzing with people. In the temple, it is packed, even in the winters when it is very cold. And after Mangal Arati, again the roads are filled. And after that, it is again all quiet and empty. Govinda Dev Temple. The Govinda Dev Temple in Jaipur. The original deity is there. And now, in Vrindavan and the Govinda Dev Temple, there is what is called a Pratibhu Murti. A Pratibhu Murti is a replica of the original. The original Murti is called the Mool Murti. And the replica Murti that is installed in the place of the original is called the Pratibhu Murti. So that is there now and has been worshipped by some pujaris. And it was Rupa Goswami who also personally carved the Radha Damodara deity and gifted it to Jiva Goswami. And then Jiva Goswami installed the deities and had the temple constructed of Radha Damodara. It is in the courtyard of Radha Damodara Mandir that Rupa Goswami had his bhajan kuti. And Rupa Goswami performed his disappearance pastime also in Vrindavan, and his samadhi is there. So even today, if you go to the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, you will see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami and his bhajan kuti facing each other in the compound. And when you do parikrama of the deities, you also do parikrama of many, many samadhis and bhajan kutis of various acharyas. The most important being Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami lived along with Sanatana Goswami for many, many years. And one time, it is said that in Radhakund, Rupa Goswami was thinking, what can I do for my elder brother Sanatan Goswami's appearance day. He thought I should make some nice sweet rice, some kheer, and then I will give. But we are bhikshus, we are mendicants, we have no way to get any of these ingredients to make good quality sweet rice. At that time, one young Brajabasi girl, small girl, she came and she said, Babaji, you wanted this? Here is some gift from the Brajabasis. So there was milk, there was a nice jaggery, there was rice, there was all the ingredients, camphor, everything that was necessary to make exquisite sweet rice was there. Rupa Goswami cooked with great joy. And then he gave it to Sanatan Goswami. When Sanatan Goswami tasted it, it was absolutely nectar. He said, this rice, sweet rice, I have never tasted in my life. Tell me, come here, Rupa Goswami. He was a younger brother, no? So he could call Rupa Goswami. You come here, sit down, tell me, where have you got this from? Where did you get these ingredients from? We are bhikshus, we only do matu curry. We only get some veg rotis and some sabji like that. Where did you get these ingredients for the sweet rice? Sanatan was suspicious. So Rupa Goswami said, one very young Brajabasi girl came. What did she look like? Then Rupa Goswami explained. Then he said, Rupa, you have taken seva from Radharani. So from today you will not cook sweet rice anymore. We have come here to serve, not to take service from Srimati Radharani. So Rupa Goswami also said, oh, I have done such a big offense. I have taken seva personally from Radharani. She has come personally to serve. Such was their dealings, their intimate dealings. So advanced were they. And these were their activities that they did in Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were the gurus of all the others there. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami had preceded Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Actually, they had come before. And they were senior to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. But they were mostly confined to themselves. And even though they were very close, they were not in the forefront so much. But Rupa and Sanatan Goswami actually were the ones who wrote all the literatures and preached very widely. They went home to home among the Brajabasis. Rupa Goswami was the Shiksha Guru and was the Guru actually of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami came and took shelter. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance from this world, he wanted to commit suicide because he said there is no purpose in living if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is no longer there with us. So he thought, let me go to Govardhan and jump off Govardhan Hill and commit suicide. But when he came to Govardhan, first he thought, let me take the darshan and blessings of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And then the two brothers very affectionately dealt with him and persuaded him from not doing such a thing. They said, you come here and stay like our brother, and we will stay together and write devotional literatures and serve Krishna here in Vrindavan. So then Raghunath Das Goswami changed his mind and he stayed with them and he took shelter of Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami were also very, very close. In this way the Goswamis lived together. And even though they were such great scholars, they were extremely humble. They never became proud. One time the same Vallabh Bhatta, whom Rupa Goswami had offered obeisances to in Prayag, you will remember the pastime I narrated just some time ago, he came to Vrindavan and he met Rupa Goswami and they were discussing Krishna Katha. And at that time Rupa Goswami was in the process of writing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he had not completed it, but some manuscripts were already written. So out of humility, Rupa Goswami gave these manuscripts to Vallabh Bhatta and said, please make any correction if you think there is anything needs to be corrected. So Vallabh Bhatta went through it and said, he came back to Rupa Goswami and said, well, I think it needs correction in these places, here, here and here. So Rupa Goswami very humbly, he said, yes, you are correct. I will make the necessary changes. Now, At that time, Jiva Goswami was also present there. At this time, Jiva Goswami was only a young lad, but he was a great scholar. Even when he came to Vrindavan, he had studied Srimad Bhagavatam and many, many other subjects in Banaras, Varanasi. And even before he came to Vrindavan, he had a reputation of being a great scholar, even though he was very young. He was present there, right next to Rupa Goswami. And he overheard, he was present when this conversation was going on. And he saw Rupa Goswami giving the book to Vallabh Bhatta, said, "Please make the corrections." Rupa Goswami took a humble position. But Jiva Goswami was thinking, this is not correct. Vallabh Bhatta doesn't understand the glories of my Guru Rupa Goswami. And he dares to come and correct Rupa Goswami's work. This is not proper. Because Rupa Goswami is very humble, so he is just giving the book and saying, yes, you make correction. So then when Vallabh Bhatta went to take bath in the Yamuna, Jiva Goswami also went along with him on the pretext of helping him. And on the way, he asked Vallabh Bhatta, "So, what were the changes that you suggested in Rupa Goswami's books, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu?" So Vallabh Bhatta said, "Such and such, such and such." And Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami corrected him. He said, "Actually, my dear Bhatta, you are wrong. What Rupa Goswami has written is actually correct. And this is how it is right." So Vallabh Bhatta was struck with wonder. And he accepted what the young Jiva Goswami said. And he said, "Yes, you are correct." And after they had taken bath, Vallabh Bhatta went back to Rupa Goswami. And he said, "I return this without correction. Everything you have said is correct." So Rupa Goswami said, "How is it? You just mentioned that these were the mistakes." He said, "No, your nephew, Jiva, he has corrected me and made me realize my mistake." He said, "What? Jiva has corrected you?" He said, yes, he is such a wonderful, brilliant scholar. Great, very wonderful nephew you have." And then Vallabh Bhatta left and went away. Then Rupa Goswami called Jiva. "You come. You immediately leave Vrindavan and go away. You are not fit to stay here. Vrindavan is not meant for those who are proud. Why do you want to demonstrate your scholarship?" And Jiva Goswami also was so humble, he didn't try to argue and answer back, "But I did it only for you." He didn't say like that. What Jiva Goswami did was right. What Rupa Goswami did was also right. He was humble, he took the humble position, and he gave this manuscript to Vallabh Bhatta. But Jiva Goswami's duty was to protect the integrity and the work of his guru, Rupa Goswami. So what he did was right also. He had not done it out of pride, but Rupa Goswami took it like that. He wanted to set an example and set the standard for how a Vaishnava should behave. He said, "You have violated the etiquette by doing this. So you don't deserve to stay in Vrindavan. You go away." Later it was only at the intervention of Sanatan Goswami that Jiva was brought back. Because he was going in some place and he sat there in a crocodile hole and he was eating only some chickpea flour and some things, Jamuna water. And Sanatan was looking out, "Where is the Jiva gone now?" And he heard the local Brajabasi saying, "There is one Baba who is very austere and he is eating only like this and all day he is crying." So Sanatan understood, this must be Jiva. So then he went to Rupa Goswami and said, "You are not following teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Rupa Goswami didn't again become angry. "Me? I am such a scholar." He never said like that. He was such a scholar. He had written so many nice books. He immediately took the humble position. If somebody comes and tells us, "You don't know Prabhupada's books," what will we feel? We will feel like replying, "I know the books, you don't know the books." But Rupa Goswami did not say that. Rupa Goswami immediately said, "Oh really? Please tell me, where is my mistake? What is it that I am not following?" Rupa Goswami became very concerned. And He said, okay, tell me what are the principles taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one by one Rupa Goswami started mentioning Name Ruchi and then Vaishnava Seva, and he was going on. Then he came to this one point, Jive Daya, that one should have mercy on all the fallen souls. And he said, yes, you have not understood this point. And then Rupa Goswami understood what Sanatana was saying. It was a double meaning. It was a pun. And then he said, Sanatana Goswami then brought back Jiva Goswami. And Rupa Goswami again happily accepted him. But on another occasion, a similar thing happened. There was a Dig Vijayi Pandit, a great mundane scholar of Sanskrit, of logic, grammar, alankar, and so on. And he had this Vijaya Patra. And everywhere he would go to all the holy places or the places of learning, and he would challenge various scholars to debate, and he would defeat them. And having defeated them, then he would take their signatures in his Vijaya Patra. Yes, my name is so and so, and I have been defeated by this great Dig Vijayi Pandit. So he had many, many signatures because he was really very brilliant. Then he heard that I must go to Vrindavan. There are these Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatana are the senior most. So I must take their signatures. So he went there to Rupa and Sanatana. As soon as he approached, I am so and so, Dig Vijayi Pandit, and I challenge you to debate. Or else, if you don't want to debate with me, if you are scared to debate with me, then you just sign here that I accept so and so as great scholar. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami didn't want to waste their time and energy with such a mundane scholar. And they were not concerned with prestige and all these things. So they immediately said, yes, yes, you are a great scholar, greatest scholar on the earth. And the Dig Vijayi Pandit became very happy. His ego was inflated even more. And he said, now my mission is successful. And as he was leaving Vrindavan, he remembered, oh yes, I have heard that there is one young lad here who is an upcoming scholar. So in future he may become a great scholar and he may create some problem for my reputation. Might as well defeat him right now, he said, and take his signature. So then in the future there will be nobody who can stand in front of me. So that was the one last thing that he did. The one big mistake he committed. Or rather one should say, it was his saving grace. It was one thing that saved him actually. So he approached Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was ready to sign. But then this Pandit, in order to convince him to sign faster, he said, look, even your uncle Rupa and Sanatana has signed. Then Jiva said, let me see. And he said, this person needs to be taught a lesson and put in his place. My uncles, great uncles Rupa and Sanatana, they are so humble. And even though they are great scholars, they willingly sign like this. But this person is so proud and egoistic. He needs to understand the glory of my great uncles. So he said, no, I will challenge you to debate. And they sat and debated, and he thoroughly defeated this Dig Vijayi Pandit. The Dig Vijayi Pandit could not stand in front of him. And he was shocked and he completely defeated. And he went away from there. And Jiva Goswami was pleased that the integrity and reputation of his uncles had been protected. When Rupa Goswami heard about this, he called him, come. And again he sent him out. He said, you are here to become a famous scholar? You want to have the great reputation of becoming a great big Dig Vijayi Pandit? You want to do this just for the sake of your false ego and your sense of prestige? This is not how a devotee of Krishna is. This is not a qualification for staying in Vrindavan. So you leave. Go away from here. You do not deserve to be here. And once again, Jiva Goswami left. He didn't argue. Again in this case, Jiva Goswami was not mistaken. He was correct. But Rupa was also correct. Because he wanted to establish the standard of behavior and attitude for all the Vaishnavas. So Jiva Goswami left, And again, it was Sanatana who intervened and brought Jiva Goswami back. So even though Jiva Goswami was such a great devotee, such a great scholar, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is called him the greatest philosopher of all time, still just see how humble he was. So this was the teachings of Rupa Goswami. And through examples of Jiva Goswami and others, Rupa Goswami has taught us how we should actually be living, how we should think and how we should act, not only in the society of devotees amongst ourselves, but also with regard to those who are not devotees. So this is how Rupa Goswami taught. He stayed for many, many years along with Sanatana and the others, and then eventually he departed from this world in Vrindavan and re-entered the eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. That is the reason we consider Rupa Goswami so special. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki
Jai.
We should pray for Rupa Goswami Pad's blessings so that we may also become pure devotees of Radha Krishna one day. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, now anybody is descending from the spiritual world here, will he be not present then? How is that?
If somebody is descending from the spiritual world here, will he be not present there? You mean, is there some vacancy when he comes? The same question can be asked about Krishna. When Krishna comes here, then it is vacant. With the demigods, when they come here from the Swarga Loka to earth, then there is a vacancy. When Yamaraj was cursed by Mandavya Rishi, he became Vidura of the Mahabharata, and there was a vacancy in his post there. So Aryama, he officiated as Yamaraj for some time till Vidura came back and Yamaraj came back. But from the spiritual world it is not like that. When Krishna descends here, he remains in the spiritual world. He just expands himself. And the two Krishnas are identical. There is no difference. Similarly with all the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, from Srimati Radharani to the gopis and the gopas and the elder cowherd men and ladies and all of them, they are there. And also simultaneously they manifest, not only here in this one Vrindavan in our universe, but in every material universe that manifests in the material creation, there is one Vrindavan. And in each of these Vrindavans, all these associates of Krishna who descend with him from Goloka Vrindavan are there. So they expand themselves, just as Krishna expands himself. Okay? Any other questions? Yes. Can you repeat the question?
They say that the three ladies, Govindadeva, Madan Mohan and Jyotira, they are called as Sambhar Dhabadeya and Devadana Jyotira. Would you explain the reason for
this? Why are these three deities, Madan Mohan, Govindadeva and Gopinath, considered as the Sambandha, Abhidheya and Prayojana deities? Yes, it is because of their founders. Sanatana Goswami is called the Sambandha Acharya. His teachings mostly pertain to the Sambandha Tattva. Also he talks of other things as well. Similarly, Rupa Goswami is described in books like the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Abhidheya Tattva, or the practice of Krishna consciousness. How does one do Krishna consciousness? He has also talked of Rasa Tattva and many other things. And Raghunath Das Goswami, through his works, has explained Prayojana, Krishna Prema. So therefore their respective deities also are considered deities for these things. By their blessings we can understand sambandha avidheya as well as avichana. Any other question? Yes.
In Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, to the and to out of Vrindavan before, right? And then Sanatan Goswami said that's wrong. And then why did again Rupa Goswami do the same thing?
That we will have to ask Rupa Goswami. Good question. The dealings between the two brothers, they are very exalted souls. They are not ordinary living entities. So, they were dealing on a different platform. Both are very pure devotees of the Lord. But Rupa Goswami wanted to teach us a lesson of how a devotee should be. That is why for the second time also he sent Jiva Goswami. Any other question? Yes. Can you switch on your mic?
Hello. So, Maharaj, even nowadays in the present material world, we worship so many gods. That Shiva, Ganesh, Saraswati, etc., whatever is there, okay? And we treat them as gods or goddesses, whatever we like. But we don't play with them or do not treat them as friends or something like that. This sense of godhood was also there, mostly there, in those days, in say, when Krishna descended here, in the 4,000 years back. So how could they, whether they knew that Krishna is God, knowingly they are playing or unknowingly they are playing or joking, whatever they are doing at that time. Can you clarify this question?
In Vrindavan, under the influence of the Yoga Maya potency of the Lord, the Vrajavasis did not know that Krishna is God. And sometimes they would know also. There are some of the verses in the Bhagavatam where the gopis declare Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But the special feature is that the love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna was so intense and of such a sweet and intimate nature that even if they knew that Krishna was God, it did not matter. They would still love Krishna as their friend or as their son or so on, despite knowing. This is the special feature of Vrindavan. In other places, when they sometimes realize that Krishna is God, it interferes with the intimacy and sweetness of their love for Krishna. Like when Arjuna, he is the friend of Krishna from Dwarka, in that mood. He was considering Krishna to be his friend. And Krishna was his friend. But when Krishna revealed the Virat Rupa, then Arjuna's friendly love for him became mixed with a feeling of awe and reverence. Oh, I have made mistakes against you, Krishna. I have called you in friendly terms. I have sat with you, joked with you, eaten with you. So please forgive me for my offenses. So this is what happens in Dwarka. But in Vrindavan this does not happen. Even when Krishna kills so many big asuras, the cowherd boys don't think he is anything but their friend. They will still climb on his shoulders, they will still tease him, they will still play with him, because their love for Krishna as a friend is so strong and so pure. Arjuna is also pure, but it is not as sweet as the love, for example, of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. So this is a special feature of Vrindavan. Okay? Thank you very much. So now, what is the program? Yes. And now that you are in the midst of the book marathon, you have to do your service to Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami's main instruction was, he has to propagate books. He has to write books. So Srila Prabhupada is following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. And he has written so many books for the people of our times, just as Rupa Goswami wrote books for his time. So Prabhupada has written these books, and we have to reach these books out to so many people in the outside world who are suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. So many, many wonderful arrangements and schemes have been made for all the devotees of Sri Jagannath Mandir and Sri Lakshmi Narasimha Mandir to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So please take full advantage of this and spend your time and energy and so on to sincerely and enthusiastically distribute as many books as you can. This will be very, very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and to Lord Krishna himself. So like you did last year, try to do even better this year. To everybody you know, try to give out one book. Every single devotee should distribute at least a few books in this 1 month. Even if you are a professional, even if you are busy in your office, whether you are a housewife or a student, everybody should distribute at least some books. Whether you are young or old, doesn't matter. So this 1 month especially, please do your utmost to distribute as many books as possible. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Transcendental Book Distribution Marathon.
Right.
Hare Krishna.